Hi everyone, I'm Anish and this is Mike, and we're going to talk about predictive inputs. And first of all, thank you all for attending our talk, because when I arrived here, and this is our first time to Gorek, and I was talking to several people about input stuff and nobody was kind of interested in input stuff. So I guess you are the guys are kind of interested in, and that is really great for us. So first of all, I would like to thank the GNOME team, because they are the first one that thought that there are other audience as well who are really interested in GNOME in using the other languages. And maybe in last year we integrated IBUS with the GNOME, and that was the most coolest thing. But we had some several discussion around it, around the GNOME mailing list and things. But honestly, for us, it's the best thing which could have happened in a desktop. And I would really like to thank John, then Matthias, and Rui for their work. And maybe let's talk, then I'll start my talk. Today we are going to talk about more about what our input methods are. Then why predictive input methods are required, and a bit of theoretical part behind it, and then the projects currently what we are working on, so that you will get to know about more in about the predictive stuff. And that's it for the agenda today. And if you are having any questions at any time, please feel to interrupt us so that we can answer at that point itself. I'll be happy to take down the questions as well. So let's start. What are the input methods? Because I added this slide because most of you are not aware of what our input methods are. Because most of you guys are using either the Spanish keyboard or the English keyboard or the native keyboard. So I thought it would be really good idea to have the slides like this. So there are two types of input methods, roughly. One is character-based input methods and other are sentence-based input methods. So character-based input methods are basically Indian, Korean, or Vietnamese. We call it as a transliteration-based input methods. Why we call it is transliteration-based? Because we have the conversion between the ASCII alphabets or Latin alphabets to the other to the similar in other languages. So that is why we call the character-based input methods. And for the Chinese and Japanese stuff, we call it it's a sentence-based input methods, because in those input methods we really don't have space in between the words. So it's really complex to have these such input methods. If you see how Japanese input methods, the Japanese sentence looks like. It looks like this. This one. That is the one. That is the whole sentence, and it's nothing but the R names in Japanese. Honestly, I really don't know much about Japanese, but Mike knows here, so he has inputted those characters. If you see, there are no spaces in between the characters. Yeah, but there are, but naturally there are not like the space in between the Chinese and Japanese text. So that becomes really hard to type the Japanese and Chinese onto the computer, because apparently we have only, I guess, 32, in general I'm speaking about 32 alphabets as such, but to type the characters other than the English or the Latin characters, it's really difficult job. And if you see right now, if I use the computer in my mother tongue, that is, my mother tongue is Marathi, I always feel frustrated. And if you see this state of current input methods, the state of input methods on the desktop, after typing something, you'll feel like this. I always make such kind of face. Why? Because, for example, I really want to type GNOME on my own language on the desktop. ideally it should take only 5 keystrokes, but apparently it takes around 8 to 9 keystrokes, and that makes me mad. Why I need to type 9 keystrokes to type a word which I could type in a English or the in a QWERTY keyboard for 5 letters. So the predictive text is one of the way we are trying to solve that problem, so that user have to type the less, you will get some suggestions, and maybe user's life will make less happy. And the need for such predictive input methods, I added this slide day before yesterday, because I was listening to keynote by the Endless Mobile guy. Actually, I've forgotten his name, but he had shown the, you were telling something?
The name was Mattel. No?
Yeah, Mattel, okay. And he shown some good statistics about the Brazil. So I thought, why not? Why not about India? Because we have like 1.21 billion of population, out of which 74% are, they can just read or write in any language, and out of which only 5 to 6 of the whole population, bunch of population, they can understand English. I explicitly added this because I've been traveling around Europe since last 7 days, and I met several people, and they have the misconception about India that everyone in India can understand English. It's really false. In India, rarely out of this population, 5 to 6% of the total population, they really understand English. And apparently 51% of the youth out of the 1.2 billion, they are the youth, and they use your technology. They use any operating system or any mobile devices. And for them, if you don't give the prediction kind of thing, they are not going to use the your software. For example, in India, in last year officially, some of the mobile companies, they sell more than 2 million Android devices. And why it's so popular in India? Because in Android, you'll get a lot of free apps as well as you get good input methods. Apparently, in this room as well, we use all kinds of input methods in the mobile or mobile devices. And if you consider diversity of India, we have 22 officially recognized languages and 9 major scripts. And if you consider the rest of the world to preserve the endangered languages and the users, you should provide good input methods to them so that it will be help to preserve the languages. And another point is, we are also having the touch inputs or GNOME on tablet kind of thing. And maybe for that, we need good input methods as well. And another thing, for example, if you know one language and you are really good in typing one language, and apparently most of us speak more than one language, and we know one language really well, but we really don't know the other language, and to type in such kind of languages, it makes really hard. For example, if you go to China, and they type really good in Chinese, but if you tell them to type in English, it becomes mess. Because they know the language, but they are not really good in the particular language. So that is the need of such input methods. And let's talk about how you can implement such things in practice. Because to get the suggestions, it's really hard, because we have the number of words in this whole universe, and how you can predict the next word. Because you really don't know that, okay, what I'm going to say next. So there are 2 techniques. One is this, we use several techniques, such as statistical techniques and the probability theory, to predict the next word. So we call it as a language model. So language model is nothing but, we just consider the, in a given language, what is the probability that one word could follow the other word. For example, right now I'm speaking something about the predictive text. So you can guess my next word or my next sentences would be something regarding the language model. So similarly, in probability theory, in computers or any Android methods, that does the same thing. That we have this simple language model, in that what you consider is the number of occurrences of a word and divided by the number of whole words in the language, so that you get the probability. Because some sentences or some words, they try to get in together. For example, I'm going, so whenever I say I, the probability of the next word would be M, the most probable, I'm saying. It's not the exact word, but it's the probability. So if you know a little about the mathematics, I really don't want to go into that direction, because it's kind of boring and you will not like it much. So the Markov scientist in 1960s or 70s, he had proposed a really good theory. The theory is like, if you know the earlier history, and if the history remains the same, then you can calculate the future. So same theory is being used in machine learning techniques, but you can just guess the next word, but you can just predict the next word, but that probability is kind of 80%. You can't guess it 100%. Because why it's so? Because we are humans, and human mind is kind of ambiguous. We really don't know what we will do next. So that makes it really hard for the text prediction. So the probability of the word depends on the probability of the n probability previous words. That is the basic thing what is being used in the text prediction. So we calculate the unigrams, bigrams, and trigrams. Unigrams is nothing but a single word. Bigrams is nothing but a set of two words. And trigrams is nothing but a set of three words. So for example, gnome is a unigram. Gnome is a kind of bigram. And gnome is awesome is a trigram. So we calculate such probabilities on a huge corpus. Say we have a billions of words on a given sentence. So we try to calculate the unigrams, trigrams, and trigrams, and depending on that, we try to predict the next word. So for example, in training set, you have three sentences. God is awesome, gnome is awesome, and gnome shell is awesome. So there are three different words, and start and stop are nothing but a special symbol. You can consider as a special symbol, so that you can guess this sentence has been started and the sentence has been finished. So in this example, say you should know the vocabulary in your document or in your corpus. Here the vocabulary is start, codec, is, awesome, stop, and the shell. And if you want to calculate the unigram model, the unigram probabilities for this model is the probability. You might want to consider the probability of the word codec. So it's 1:16. How come it's 1:16? Because the codec is used only one in the whole corpus, and the number of words in the corpus are 16. So the probability is 1:16. Similarly, the probability of the word is 3:16. This, if you can apply the similar logic over here, so you can get the unigram model. So similarly, if you want to apply the same logic into the trigram model, as I said, trigram model is the set of three words. So gnome and divided by the star, that means that the gnome is being used twice in this whole corpus, and the number of sentences starting with the star are three. So its probability is 2/3. So if you apply the similar logic to the whole sentence, for example, a probability of gnome goddess is awesome and then start, you want to divide this, you want to apply the same logic to the whole sentence, then you will get like probability of Godex star stars into probability of each Godex star stars and go on to the end. So it's kind of mathematical part. So that's about the theoretical part, which is kind of, then there is again tips and traps, like if you get the unknown sentences kind of thing, so how to normalize such sentences, but I really don't want to get into that complexity. So let's talk about the projects we are working on. So one of the project is IBOS Typing Booster that we are working on. So at this point of time, I'll get the mic will talk more about the IBOS Typing Booster.
So I'll try to demonstrate a bit. Sorry?
Maybe you should talk more about the project itself.
Yes, okay. So we implemented something like that as an IBOS input method. It supports most language which are can be easily transliterated. So it doesn't support, as Anish already said, it doesn't support Chinese and Japanese because the extra complicated step to do conversion to Chinese characters is necessary, but practically all languages which can be, where after transliteration it's already finished, are supported, and or where direct keyboard input is already enough. And it uses the well-known input method from the M17N library, so users who know these don't need to get used to new stuff. And the hope is to improve typing speed a lot by getting very good predictions and typing only a few letters to select the right word. And most of the prediction comes from what the user types. It learns from the user input, and one can speed it up by giving some typical text for what the user usually types to reduce the time needed for learning. And if Anish explained this, the prediction is based on the previous two words on the trigram database, and if no suitable trigram can be found in the database, it falls back to Hanspel dictionaries and shows predictions from Hanspel dictionaries. And it also uses Hanspel for correcting minor spelling errors. And currently it's implemented in the front end for IBOS, it's implemented in Python. And as a database, we use SQLite. And now I should show a little bit how it works. Oh, let me see. So, I'm trying the German IBOS Typing Booster. First of all, I delete everything which has been learned so far to demonstrate it. Where's gedit? So if I type some German text, so you see the second time I typed it, I could just select it by typing one letter and select, because it remembered the next word based on the previous context. Actually, I mistyped the last word, so there is a dot on the last E because I did a typing mistake. And so the first suggestion is now wrong. If I want to delete this from the database, I can select it not with 1, but with control 1. And so now this suggestion is gone from the database. And to speed up this learning process, I can read in some longer text file. So I can select learn from text file here. So as an example, I have here some book which I let the system read. And now if I look at some text in this book, I can easily input the same text again with very little typing. Because it learned this. And you see that I'm using the German typing booster actually, but what I typed here is English. So it doesn't really matter for the trigrams what language you are using. You can mix the languages freely, just like the SwiftKey application for the Android does. And currently, we still have different engines for every language, but I want to merge this in much fewer languages, much fewer engines to support the same languages in only a small number of engines. Let's do something else, like for Anich's mother tongue. So you can also do the same system for practically any, I don't know what this means, I can't read Marathi. And or Korean, you see that the suggestions, the first character of the suggestion is in Hangul actually. So we see only the first jamo of the I've typed only one jamo, and the first character of the suggested words is the first jamo of this Korean. Yeah, okay, that's about it, I think, for the demonstration. And go back to the slides.
Yep.
So the current drawbacks of Ibis typing booster is somehow it's kind of Ibis engine, so that is the real drawback. So you can't use the same code over to the other engines. Or if you want to use the same code, it's really tedious. So we have started one more project, Libyokan. It's a text prediction library which is written in Lvala, so that you can use in other projects as well. So it's just nothing but you have to. The library is nothing but we handle all the key events, and the client have to just subscribe for the text prediction so that. Once you have subscribed, you'll get the prediction as it is. And the next step is, we honestly need your help. We need help in testing, then the suggestions for improvements for the new features, because you guys are the users, and if you have some suggestions, we are happy to implement those kind of things. And again, the Huntsville dictionaries, what we are using now, I honestly don't think nobody maintains Huntsville dictionaries. It's been, if you see the commit logs of the Huntsville dictionaries, it's kind of maybe 5 to 6 years ago, somebody created them. And those are the states of the Huntsville dictionaries, and we would like to improve those. And also, creation of free corpus, that that is the thing which is really needed for us, and in open we it's really hard to get the free corpus for the suggestions. And where is the last thing?
So in future we might want to add some grammatical analysis as well, so for that corpus might be interesting. At the moment we are doing only this Markov model stuff, and having a big corpus doesn't actually help that much. If you read in a huge text like all of Wikipedia for English, then the prediction based on this simple Markov model for the next word is something 1 out of 250 or 1 out of 500, which isn't very good. So it works only well at the moment if it's the text to learn from is what the user actually uses. So normal users don't write a novel, don't write in a complicated style like Oscar Wilde, or people tend to write "Where do we go for lunch?" or something like this. So they what a typical user types is much more repetitive, and having really learning from the user input is the Markov model much more helpful than reading a big corpus. And
maybe that's it. Thank you for listening. Questions?
Will all your work on predictive input methods that you demonstrated also help KDE users?
We didn't get any feedback from KDE users so far. Actually, we did get very little feedback, so Anish asked for testers. I asked some Red Hat colleagues to test it and got some nice suggestions for improvements, which I implemented, but there wasn't that much user feedback, and I can't remember anybody from KDE. It works on KDE though, no? So it's
So I mean, obviously predictive typing can be useful in any context, but we often think of prediction in terms of on-screen keyboards. So I'm wondering, you know, what you've thought, if you've given any thought to how we can take this and apply it when somebody's using an on-screen keyboard. I mean, it's obviously a more general issue of how we integrate input methods with on-screen keyboards, but I was curious what thoughts you had.
Yeah, currently it doesn't yet work with on-screen keyboards, but we want to make it work in future with on-screen keyboards. And that is also one of the reasons why Anish wants to put it into a library, because then it will be easier to use from an on-screen keyboard than with the current implementation in an IBUS front-end.
Okay.
For on-screen keyboard, I think it makes much more sense. For myself, when I type German or English, I'm typing too fast. So usually for me it's easier to just finish typing the word instead of looking and selecting. But Anish said that many people in India are not comfortable with the way the transliteration is done and have a hard time figuring it out. And so for people who are use computer for the first time in India, it's very helpful if they get some suggestions after typing only a few letters, similar like people on a touch screen have difficulties typing.
I guess that makes me wonder another question. Have you thought about whether this should be enabled by default in some languages? Should it just, when you log into, if you choose an Indian input language for GNOME, should it just work like this by default?
Yes. We are planning to make it default, but for making the default, we need to fix some of the core bugs. For example, when you try to integrate it as a desktop input method, but you need to fix few things. For example, if you are typing in, if you are typing something in Google, you wouldn't want such suggestions.
Yes, Anish means that in Google itself displays some suggestions, and the GNOME shell lookup table gets into the way of the Google suggestions, so they overlap each other.
Yeah.
So it's one needs to switch it off and on all the time.
Actually, we need a good design for that. For example, if you want to type something in browser, and in that case as well, you wouldn't require suggestions as well. So we need to determine such kind of things.
I mean, in GTK, actually, there is some API to control that in some way now. So there are these input hints that you can apply to text entry fields. You can say, I don't want, this is a calculator. I want only numeric stuff in this field. Or you can say, don't inhibit the on-screen keyboard, mm-hmm. which, you know, you could then maybe imply, okay, I didn't want to inhibit word prediction. So maybe we could extend that technique and apply that to other toolkits and things.
Yeah, we have no good idea for something like the Google search field at the moment, because sometimes, of course, if you type in the browser, you want it. If you may use the browser for chatting or whatever, and how to find out that the user is typing into the Google search field. So I don't know how to do that at the moment.
I think that it may do the right thing on Android. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not completely sure, but I think there may be hints in HTML, so we just have to figure out how to expose them through to get mm-hmm. to the right place.
Ah, you mean it's in the HTML of the web page, maybe?
We should at least investigate that to see if mm-hmm. it's there.
Okay, if there are no other questions, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much.